We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Three games in the books, two more at Yankee Stadium. And joining us right now to break down everything that happened last night and what will happen the rest of the way is the great John Flaherty of the Yes Network, former Yankee. And the John Flaherty Report is brought to you by Stoli Vodka, the official vodka of the Yankees Radio Network, and by Tire Discount, Tire Pros. Here he is, folks, John Flaherty.
It's the Flaherty Report with John Flaherty. Somebody's getting pizzayed.
All right, John, this was a frustrating watch from a Yankee fan perspective. First of all, how are you? Are you doing well?
I'm doing great. I guess you guys have a problem with me not having a landline?
Yeah, well, last time we were joking around. Last time there was a few words that were muffled, and we hang on every one of your words. So that's why we were just having some fun with that. But you sound good so far today. So that's all that matters. And for the Yankees, all that matters now is a game four and winning it. And a frustrating watch, as I alluded to, because you know, Gerrit Cole, although he shut the Yankees down, it was impressive. He wasn't the Gerrit Cole against the Tampa Bay Rays at home in Houston. There were opportunities there, and they didn't capitalize. From your perspective, why didn't the Yankees lineup get it done last night?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, you got to give Cole credit. I mean, I guess he made big pitches when he had to, but, you know, you're right. There were so many opportunities early in that game, especially where, you know, one big swing of the bat could have, you know, changed the game in the Yankee favor. And, you know, it always comes down to making big pitches in big spots, and the great pitchers always seem to do that. But Cole, even after the game, admitted he didn't have his great stuff. He didn't have a great rhythm. After that long delay when the umpires were changed, he actually got better, the sixth and seventh. He was the dominant Cole. But if you're the Yankees this morning when you wake up, you're thinking about probably five or six pitches that you'd want back. Didi, obviously, in the first, Didi had another opportunity with a fastball that he drove to right field, just a little short. I thought LeMahieu had a hanging slider that he could have done some damage with, and Aaron Judge, the same thing. So, you know, you give Cole credit, but that was an opportunity for them to beat him. They had an opportunity to beat Verlander in game two with a big swing against their bullpen. They couldn't do it, and they had shots last night against Cole. So, two games two and three, that they had some shots and couldn't get it done.
All right, let's forget about those two games, and let's look forward here, and let's get down to brass tacks. Is Gary Sanchez hurt or not?
He's not hurt. He's just not, you know, he took a step back last night. I thought his swings in game two were better. I thought last night he was lost. You know, and the Zach Britton wild pitches, I mean, those are sinkers that are 94 miles an hour. I'm not going to get on him for not blocking those. You know, if there are any breaking balls, curveball, slider, split, that he's not blocking, then I'm going to get on him. You know, I always felt like if pitchers were throwing fastballs in the dirt at 95 miles an hour as a catcher, that's not my job to block them. And, you know, Zach Britton with a nasty sinker at 94, those are a couple of tough plays. But I think at the plate last night, he took a couple of steps back.
So, but did you think he's hurt, though? You think there's something bothering him?
I don't, Boomer. I really don't. I haven't heard anything like that. When I watch him physically, I don't see anything that he's moving a little bit slower. I just think at the plate, he expanded out of the strike zone last night, and that's what we see from Gary when he gets going bad. He gets in swing mode, and he doesn't recognize pitches, and that's all I'm seeing.
Yeah, he's chasing balls. I have actually tweeted out during the game yesterday, just – Don't swing the bat. Just stand there, and you'll get on first base because they're not. Yep. They don't want to throw him a fastball over the plate. All right. So, you know, I read Joel Sherman's article this morning. He spoke with Joe Torre about the 1996 Yankees and how Joe Torre had to do some desperate measures in order to get the series back to where he needed to get it back to, and he had to bench some players. I don't know if that's an opportunity here for Aaron Boone to do that, but the big question I have for you: if Stanton is hurt and he can't play, then why is he on the roster?
I'm 100% with you on that. I mean, if you're seeing that you can pinch hit in last night's game, then you're a player for me. You know, so if I was the Yankees and, you know, this guy can't play, then let's make a move here and move forward. But right now, they're playing with, a depleted roster. I thought Aaron Hicks last night, man, did he impress me with the at-bats that he had against Cole after not playing for a couple of months. He looks like a player. He looks like a dangerous player. And if Stan can't post, I think the Yankees have to make a move.
I would think they would make a move, too, and then maybe make a move. I don't know who you would think, but maybe it's Luke Voit. Maybe you put him in as the DH, or maybe you put him at first base and you put LeMahieu over at third, sit Urshela, leave him on the bench for a potential pinch-hitting opportunity, and keep Encarnacion as a DH. I don't know how you would go about it, but would you bring a guy like Voit or Tauchman, if he's still in play now, back onto the roster?
Yeah, I guess, Boomer, we'd have to put ourselves back in the clubhouse, right, as players. And is that a desperation move? Or is that, you know, shaking things up, I'm going to make something happen? I don't know the answer to it. I'm just wondering if I'm sitting in there and all of a sudden my manager is making some moves that seem a little desperate, would that worry me? But I'm with you. I think Stanton, if he's hurt, let's make a move. Let's get Voit on the roster again. And you're right on to something right there with Urshela. I thought last night maybe his at-bats didn't look great, so that would probably be a move that they could make. It doesn't sound like Aaron Boone is kind of at that point right now where he's thinking, I got to make something happen and shake it up.
Talking to John Flaherty, how about Adam Ottavino? If you're Aaron Boone, do you still have the same role for Ottavino the rest of this series from what you've seen from him, not only in the postseason but also part of September?
I don't think you can, Gio, right? I mean, I spoke a lot about it last night on the pregame show. Right now, he's not a confident player. You can tell when he comes in these games, he's kind of waiting for bad things to happen. You can talk about, you know, his slider. He doesn't have control or location or break or any of those things. But when he comes in a game right now, the advanced scouts are all over him because he can't control a running game at all. He hasn't been able to do it all year. And when Springer walked, I'm sitting there with Buck Showalter last night. He said, it's a double now or a possible triple on just a routine walk. And you saw it. Springer didn't even wait around, didn't even hide it. He was running right from the get-go. And all of a sudden, Ottavino's in trouble, and he's pulled out of a game. So if you're Aaron Boone, you have to bring him in a situation where it's a clean inning. But even if he walks somebody or there's a base hit, they're just going to run all over him because he's so slow to the plate. So these are things that we saw all year from Ottavino, but his stuff is so good that he was able to get away with it. Right now, his location and the break on the slider isn't there. So, in my opinion, you can't put him in a big spot.
All right, we're talking to John Flaherty. Let's talk about the lineup. Now, the lineup against the Twins had Gardner batting third, and they stayed with it, and they swept the Twins. Everything was great. All of a sudden, the new lineup comes out against the Astros in Game 1. Gleyber Torres is batting third. He has this record-setting game. It's unbelievable. We get to Game 3, and all of a sudden, Gardner's back in there because he's left-handed. And they did ask, according to one of our callers, they did ask Aaron Boone after the game, why are you doing it this way? Why do you have him, you know, in the third spot when they don't have any left-handed pitchers, you know, in their bullpen, so you don't have to separate left-handers technically because of that? Why do you think they went the way they did last night with their lineup?
It's analytics, Boomer. It's matchups. I mean, these guys in the front office with computers and all the numbers and all these projections, you know, this is what they come up with as the best lineup for that particular night. You know, Gleyber Torres has to hit third every game moving forward. I mean, there's just no way around it. And I think Houston showed us last night that they want no part of Gleyber Torres. They respect that guy in the lineup. They pitch around him. They don't give him anything to hit. You know, he obviously goes deep in a game that's 4-0. But right now, they're showing the Yankees that they respect Gleyber Torres more than anybody else, and the Yankees have to put him third to get as many opportunities for him to come to the plate. So to answer your question, the analytics come up with lineups and matchups, and this is the way you should go. But when I'm watching these games, I want Gleyber Torres hitting as many times as a game in a game as possible.
Yeah, I think, you know, if George Steinbrenner were alive, he'd fire some analytic guy today because that was dumb. So here's the other thing, and this has to do with Aaron Judge. If you had one piece of hitting advice for Aaron Judge, what would you tell him?
Two, and it's a lot easier to say that.
Sure it
to,
is.
You know, with obviously a guy like Cole last night, but you know, anytime Aaron gets out of whack, it's because he's swinging at balls that are just off the plate, down and away, and sliders, and they're pitching him tough, and I get all of that. But he's so big and strong, I would just tell him, just, you know, kind of play to the right side of the field and let the fastball beat you a little bit, because when the fastball beats him, he's still strong enough to drive it out of the park to the right side, and it gives him a little better chance to hang in there on the slider. The only advice I would give him, and he doesn't need my advice, he's a great player, and you know, they pitched him tough last night, but, you know, they're obviously going down and away, but they speed him up with the fastball a little bit to get him down and away.
Do you believe that if the game gets rained out tonight and the forecast is atrocious, that it benefits the Yankees, hurts the Yankees, or it really doesn't make a difference?
Wow. I was thinking about that last night, and my initial reaction was it hurts the Yankees because you're going to play four games in a row without a day off, and you're going to have to go to your bullpen, which I, you know, everybody thought was going to be the biggest strength of this team coming into the series. And can you go to the bullpen as often as you would like for four games in a row without a day off? But then you think about Tanaka coming back for game four, and you feel pretty good about that and getting the series even at two and then take your chances. So, you know, I don't know if there's an advantage either way. I do worry about four games in a row when they're going to try to use the bullpen as much as they want.
Do you think that if they go back to Houston down 3-2, that A.J. Hinch would do a Gerrit Cole game on short rest, or do you think he'd try to manufacture a bullpen game and then hold Cole for seven?
Yeah, I think it would hold him. I do, Boomer, on full rest. I mean, I think A.J. saw what Verlander looked like on short rest, and he probably wouldn't want to see Cole on short rest taking his chances. That's just the way I see it. If you're Houston, you want both of those big boys right now. You won two games. You got to win two more, and we've talked about it the whole series. The Yankees got to find a way to beat those two guys one game. And if I'm A.J. Hinch, I want both of my big boys going on full rest, locked and loaded, ready to go.
Are you of the belief that Major League Baseball could have done something with the baseball to change it for the postseason when you see the Maldonado fly ball die on the track, Didi's ball does not go out? Is that something that is a possibility in your mind?
Of course it's a possibility, and you think about it, but I love some of the reactions after the game, especially Didi Gregorius, when somebody asked him about that, and he kind of looked at him. He said, "Are you serious? Is that a real question?" And they're like, "Yeah, this has been talked about." And he started laughing. He said, "I have no idea." I mean, players don't concern themselves with that. Obviously, why would you do it, though? I don't understand. You know, why would you do it at this point in the year? But when you see some of the fly balls, Maldonado was the one. I thought that ball was crushed, and it seemed like he thought it was crushed, too. That didn't carry, but who knows what they're doing right now. It's just another thing. If you're a player, you kind of laugh at. You just want to play the game.
Yeah, everybody's playing with the same ball. We're talking to the great John Flaherty. Let's say Stanton is healthy or somewhat healthy. How do you see the lineup either today or tomorrow for the Yankees?
Like I said, Glaber's got to hit third is the way I see that moving forward the rest of the way. And if Stanton's a player and if he can pinch hit, then I would play him in left field and take my chances from there. I'd keep Encarnacion as a DH. I kind of liked what he was doing last night.
John, you have any inside info, seeing that you got to do pregame and postgame for Yes, and we always watch you on there, about a potential start time for a Friday night at Yankee Stadium, Game 5? Would that be an earlier game because of the travel, because they got to play the next day in Houston, or would they put that still in that prime time window, if you will, at, 7:08?
I think this is all decided by TV, right? So wouldn't it be like a Fox decision with MLB and figure out a game time? I don't know what.
Come on, John. You're an insider. You're a TV guy.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we look and see what Fox has going on for Friday night? They have college football? I have
nothing.
No idea.
They got nothing.
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 They might have that wrestling
have
now.
They do wrestling.
They got wrestling now. Ooh.
All right, so wrestling will be prime time, and maybe the Yankees Stros will be a little earlier.
Oh man,
like a 4:08 game.
Oh man, we have Boomer and I have a bet on this, John. That's why we're putting the screws to you on this stupid start time.
Well,
I was
just thinking though that you got to get on a plane right after the game on Friday to go play a game on Saturday and another game potentially on Sunday. Why would you put the players through getting on a plane at midnight? right? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but Boomer, you know better than anybody. They don't care about the players. They care about their prime time and the ratings.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See, that's why we have him on here, to keep me straight.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, by the way, John, if the Yankees respond like your phone has responded today, they're going to the World Series. Because you as clear
so
as a bell.
Clear as a bell. Myself stepped up to the plate today.
It absolutely
there
did.
We go.
Congratulations, John. We'll talk to you soon, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
There he goes. John Flaherty, former Yankee, Yes Network, and it's brought to you by the Flaherty Report, that is. By Stoli Vodka, the official vodka of the Yankees Radio Network, and by Tire Discount Tire Pros. Now, Fox, Eddie, was telling me as I was trying to say goodbye to John, I couldn't do two things at once in that moment, that Ohio State Northwestern is on a Friday night.
On FS1.
On FS1. Now, what about Fox on Friday? Do we know that?
That I do not know.
Is that where the wrestling will?
That's where wrestling is. And you know wrestling freaks do not want their wrestling interrupted.
Oh, baby. That's going to be an interesting
one. Are there more wrestling freaks or baseball freaks?
Wrestling.
So wrestling's bigger than baseball?
Nationally, yes.
Yes.
So what the hell are they going to do?
They're going to put them at 408?
Or FS2.
FS2?
FS2? The Yankees and the Astros on FS2?
Come on.
I'm just speculating. I don't know that.
Oh, man. Is this something? Does anybody care about this but us?
Yankee fans care.
No, I know, but it hasn't happened yet.
You're going to the game.
Yeah, I know, so I don't have to worry about it, really. Well, at least what channel it's on, but I do have to worry about the start time. 7:08.
Well, sometimes FS2 can be hard to find.
Eddie.
Clam up! With it.
Setting up his drops again. We all remember that era.
An inside joke that is.
I know. So you feel pretty confident about this 408, huh?
I do. I do just because of the travel, and now because of if Fox has wrestling on.
20 spot?
Yeah, sure, 20 spot. Yeah, why not?
All right.
Normally they cross-promote. I'm surprised like Hulk Hogan hasn't been in the Yankee dugout.
Here, take a 20 out and give it to Al. Okay. And Al's going to hold on to this money. And when this start time gets announced,
okay,
he'll give it to us. All right, here you go. There's my 20.
Okay.
If you want to bet a little more on it, you want to throw an extra 10 on it.
I'm sorry. That's all I got is hundies.
Sorry. Unbelievable.
Do you have a hundie?
Let's do.
You have change?
Here you go. No, let's go.
All right.
There it is.
Okay, snapper.
Wow.
This is
something. 7:08.
Right.
And no inside info?
I have no inside info. I don't.
Look at me in my eyes. No inside info. Look at you. Look at you. You can't do it. You can't do it without smirking.
No, I'm laughing.
Look at you. No, you're looking at you.
No, you can look at my phone all you want. I have no inside info whatsoever. None. What is that? What are you, like some kind of child? You're 12 years old.
Because you looked away from me when you first said no inside info. You're like, I've got no inside info. You're looking down, and I'm a body language reader. And then you looked at me, and you started laughing.
Look, I have no inside info.
Okay, well, I don't have any inside info
either. I think
either.
You do, but because you're the one who brought it up. Maybe McLaughlin has told you.
Hey, he would know that McLaughlin is. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.